Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four. Back in the house is Andrew P. Shea. I'm Jim Galante. Andy, before we get into our quarter four topic, let's just announce our winner from quarter number three. We had a fun Ask Ross segment. All good questions. We only got to three questions. What that means is we went in depth with the questions we did have.
Interesting.
And our winner is Jeff from Erie. Jeff asked Ross what he would do if he were a college coach, and that was a fun question for Ross to answer.
It's a very broad question.
Well, he got into a little more detail, you know, what style of play, how he would recruit, how would he be different than other coaches, and it was a fun question. If you missed quarter number three, please go back and listen to it. It's a good segment. All right. But we're at quarter number four, and here's my topic for you today, Andy. It seems like forever ago we were dealing with James Franklin using his leverage. Was he going to stay or was he going to go? But since then, in these last couple weeks, it seems like the coaching carousel just went crazy. Oklahoma, Notre Dame, LSU, Oregon, Florida, Miami, USC, big school after big school was involved in coaching changes. And I thought, in light of everything else that's happened, it's perhaps time to revisit what happened with James Franklin. When it first transpired and he renewed with Penn State, extended his contract, a lot of people were shocked, the amount of money, the time. All of a sudden, after all these other coaching changes, not quite the same sticker shock from James's contract, is there?
No, not. His is fairly, it's still top end, right? James still got himself a top end deal, right? But it is not like at the tip of the pyramid type deal. But it's become more normal type contract than it looked 4 weeks ago, right? It looked like a whoa, what in the world is this? And then now that this carousel has happened, it becomes more like, oh, okay, so that is part and parcel of what the 2021 and going forward sort of, you know, top 10, 15 program coaches in the country, that's sort of the norm. And it fits now. You know, I would say, before we talk about this, you kind of have to give Sandy Barber a little bit of credit, at least I say so, and Penn State University to a degree, but they kind of read the tea leaves right. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like they read the tea leaves right and figured it out and knew what, I'm not saying they knew what was coming in terms of the crazy coaching carousel, but they knew what it needed to look like going forward to give them an opportunity to even keep James. And there's some merit to that. And I think that that's a pretty good job, but initially, you know, this is in hindsight, you know, 3 weeks, a month later, but initially you're like, okay, somebody please explain this to me because I'm having a hard time understanding it. And the mediocrity on the field, in other words, the production that James is putting on the field in 2020 and 2021 and the results he's obtaining, they don't line up. That's where the big disconnect was. But looking back now, you're like, oh, okay, well, sometimes you're better off, you know, as you like to say, what is it, the devil you know rather than the...
Better the devil you know.
Right.
And as long as we're going cliches, the grass isn't always greener on the other side, Andy.
That is for darn sure.
And I believe that's also one of the things. I did a segment earlier in the week when I talked about these different coaching changes and jobs with the different schools. And in each situation, you have both the school and the coach, and who's the winner and who's the loser, or it could be a win-win situation. I do think this was the best-case scenario for both James Franklin and Penn State, in that James Franklin gets the contract, stays in a program that he's built to this point.
Right.
He's got this great recruiting class coming in. Penn State gets the stability. They get the devil they know. And I would venture to say all of these, or many of these other schools that went out to get the big fish, and all of, I mentioned all the schools, you know, the Florida schools, right, USC, LSU, on and on and on. There, I suspect there'll be several of them who regret making the change.
Oh, there always is going to be. Change is always a risk, right? So the other part of this that I wanted to bring up with you, and you're right, with this much, and you know, the list is long, with this much, especially at the tip of the spear, the high, high ends, the Oklahomas, the Notre Dame, the LSUs, USC, it's the trickle-down effect, right? It's like Brent Pry becoming Virginia Tech's coach in a nanosecond, right? Like, things have to happen so fast because it's all the staff below it and the coordinator positions and the position coaches. And like in Lincoln Riley going to USC, well, what are all those USC coaches there going to do? How many guys is Lincoln Riley going to bring? How many guys are going to stay at Oklahoma? Who is Lincoln Riley going to hire at USC to be his coordinator? That's just one example. You look at that and think about all that movement. Now look at Brent Pry. He's hiring a staff at Virginia Tech. There's so much trickle down from this that it literally creates a lot more pressure on the coaching ranks across the board, not just at the head coaching level, but at the staff level across the board. There's always people to find to fill a job, but is it the right people to find to fill a job? And there's less right people to choose from right now because there's so much upheaval going on right now. And for lack of a better term, Penn State's patience is kind of serving them well.
And the other part to this, and I was pretty hard on James Franklin during this process. I thought, here he's going back to that same well that he's gone to multiple times before. Well, I could go take another job, you know, and in essence, almost blackmailing the school.
Right.
I'm turning a little bit in my opinion of that, nice, because at the very least, he sat down with the university to try to work things out. Whereas you had other places where, you know, the coach, one day he was out recruiting for that school, and the very next day he was gone and never allowed his current school to even counter offer, sit down with them, try to work it out. At least James did that. I think that's better than some of these other places where we saw, you know, Brian Kelly left Notre Dame to go to LSU, and one of his assistant coaches was literally in the house of a recruit when he found out the head coach was leaving. In painting these scenarios, I'm not sure that I like how James handled it, but it could have even been worse.
So I want to, my point to you is, and I, it's a good point to bring up, and it's why you softened, is, correct me if I'm wrong and tell me if you agree with this, there's a recklessness to this. That doesn't it feel almost reckless right now in terms of how it's happening, what's going on at the higher levels that it is happening, how fast it moves, how it just, there doesn't seem to be any sort of patience or thought process. It's just a steam train rolling, and it's happening so fast that it, in some ways, when you talked about regret earlier, there are going to be ones with regret, because this feels a little bit, you know, at process, you know, it feels lacking of a process, and it feels a little bit reckless. Penn State, you're kind of like, well, Penn State could have been in this vicious cycle, and James and the university kind of figured out how not to put them into this vicious cycle, and there's some merit to that. Do you agree or disagree with that? That they, I know it's production on the field. It's not what you're paying for, and it's not. It is, you are not getting a good value right now as a Penn State fan in your football program, and in relation to your head coach in terms of what you are paying for recently. So knowing that, but still knowing the other side, it feels a little bit like they avoided the chaos and what I think is, it just feels reckless to me.
It feels, Andy, like those reality TV shows where you meet somebody this day and have to decide that day whether you should marry them or not.
Yeah, that's just, it's kind of stupid, but it's reckless. Yeah, I agree.
And the big difference is if you say, well, after one day I'll marry this person, you still could get divorced the following week. Here, these programs are making 5, 7, 8, 10-year commitments where they've got to pay no matter what. And you're right, it does feel a bit reckless. And I do think there will be regret. The next morning, they're going to wake up and say, uh-oh, what did I just do? And it will show up in a year or two. You know, I think some of them are going to end up being great marriages. I think Lincoln Riley is going to fit at USC for the same reasons that I thought James Franklin would have been a good fit. Great recruiter in that area. It's already happening. He's bringing in some high-level recruits that were committed to Oklahoma.
Yes.
He's bringing in kids from right in Southern California in his home place. He seems to be fitting in perfectly already. Meanwhile, you have Brian Kelly going to LSU and putting on a fake Southern accent. Not exactly that same fast start there.
Yeah, LSU wanted to make a splash, right? LSU was like, we want to make a splash. And their splash was Brian Kelly. It's a weird fit. I have a real, real problem seeing Brian Kelly coach well at Notre Dame. At LSU. Just because LSU doesn't have any patience. LSU can't have any patience. And Brian Kelly is a coach best accepted with patience to burn. Because it takes him some time to put his full-grown program into place.
It does. And would you be stunned if in a year or two LSU is saying, oh, geez, or at least their fans, what could we do to get rid of this guy? Would that surprise you?
I'd be surprised if after two seasons going into a third season that they didn't. If it was all quiet with Brian Kelly on the LSU front, that would be a major shock to me, to be honest with you. It would be really shocking. My expectation is after two seasons, it is a white hot seat for him. And it's just because 2 years isn't enough for him to do it the way he does it.
It would be an interesting one to follow. And we've got so many different schools that we have to follow with the new coaches. I do think in the end, Penn State will be happy that they stuck with the guy that they've had the last several years. Hopefully this recruiting class coming in will help that process also. All right, Andy, that's it for our show. Thank you all for listening, and be sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh, yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.